All right, we're in Genesis chapter 39 this morning. So if we back up to chapter 37 very briefly, remember there's that phrase, these are the generations of Jacob. And again, it's that phrase is refocusing the story from Jacob and the story of his life specifically to now his generations or his children. So it gets into the story of his children, and really it focuses on two in particular. There's Joseph, and he's like the main story for the rest of this book. And it started off, we looked at chapter 37, we saw the dreams that he had, we saw how his brothers were moved with envy, and they sold him into slavery. He ends up a slave down in Egypt at the end of that chapter. And then last time, chapter 38, was kind of a side story to talk about Judah and what he did around the same time, a little bit after that. But that chapter is in, really the story is focusing on Joseph, but then it sticks in that chapter about Judah to show a major turning point in his life. And that's going to help to set up what's going to happen later on in this book. But after chapter 38, now the story is going back to Joseph and picking up where we left off with him being brought down into Egypt. So we're gonna read through the chapter, and then we'll come back and talk about it. There's a lot of great stuff in this chapter. I mentioned before that as we're going through the book of Genesis, and actually the whole Bible, there's a lot of places that are actually kind of ugly, because they're showing the ugliness of man's sin. And there's a kind of an unsavory character that shows up in this chapter, and she tries to make it ugly, just like a lot of the other chapters are. You know, you read through those chapters and you're almost like, ugh, this is kind of bad. I kind of want to get out of this chapter. And she almost does that. But then this chapter really has this beauty, because you can really see the Spirit of Christ shining through in this. And you're just like, wow, this is great. So let's just read through this chapter. So verse 1, it says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had put in, and all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I had lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought in unto us, came in unto me to mock me. Then it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Amen. All right, let's talk about this chapter. So let's go back to verse 1. So we saw that Joseph was sold into the hand of the Ishmaelites or the Midianites. And then they brought him down to Egypt and sold him there to this man, Potiphar. And it says he was an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. So, I mean, this guy is like captain of the guard. He's an officer of Pharaoh. He's a direct report to Pharaoh. Okay, this is a very wealthy and powerful man. Okay, this is like the Secretary of War, or you know, he's like a general, like Eisenhower or something. This is a really top man. Okay, when it says that he was brought into his house, it's not just talking about okay, well, you know, he's got a little cottage, and it's talking about a great household. This guy probably lives in a palace or a mansion. Okay. He's got a great household. He's got many servants. He's got lands. He's got fields. He's got a lot of stuff going on. Okay. So Joseph is sold to this man. And verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, God's not just with anybody. Okay. God's not just randomly with people. There's a reason why the Lord is with Joseph. And that has something to do with Joseph, okay? We're going to see that the character that Joseph has, the integrity that he has, and Joseph, we don't know too much from earlier in his life, like was he really seeking God? Was he really like a righteous man? We don't really see a lot of that from chapter 37, which is all we've seen so far. All we've really seen is just kind of little hints that his brothers were the one with the bad report. So far, we just know that he brought the bad report of his brothers to his father. But we know by this time, Joseph has a walk with God. And we see that through this chapter. So the Lord was with Joseph, and it says, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So he was a prosperous man. And we also see that the Lord, verse 3, the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So let's look at a few verses about this. Go to Psalm chapter 1. I know some people take this and they kind of go a certain direction. And I want to be honest with you according to the scripture. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's Joseph. those three verses, that's Joseph in a nutshell. You want to know why everything he did prospered? Because he was a man who walked not in the counsel of the ungodly. He didn't stand in the way of sinners. He didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight was in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditated day and night. That's why the Lord was with him, and everything he did prospered. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Okay, now, if the Lord is with you, will you prosper? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That is a Bible truth that is all the way through the Bible. Now, prosper doesn't necessarily mean what you think it means. Okay? Let's continue on. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 22. He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, Joseph wasn't the only son of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Okay? How many of Jacob's sons heard the word of God? I'd say all of them. They had a godly man for their father. They all heard the word of God. But they weren't all godly men, at least not until this point. You've already seen what some of them have done. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What does that mean? It means whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay? This is talking about somebody who takes heed to the word of God. Doesn't just hear it, but obeys it, but does it. And he's blessed in his deed. Now, what does that mean? His prosperity. What does that mean? Blessed in his deed. Does that mean that he's wealthy? That he's got all this money? Does that make him a rich man? You know, read through the rest of James. You'll see what he thinks about rich men. he's not pleased with them. Okay? He's not talking about riches. He's talking about when you believe God and you obey his word, the things that you do are going to prosper. That doesn't mean that you won't face persecution. It doesn't mean that you won't suffer loss. It doesn't mean that you won't be tested and tempted like Job. But whatever you do is going to prosper. You're not going to be cursed. It's not like you're gonna go to work and you're gonna just do a bad job and man, everything just I just can't do anything right and then I get another and then just nothing ever works out no. If you follow the Lord, guess what? Your life is actually going to be good. It's going to be good quality. You're going to prosper in the things that you do. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. I'll show you why this is the case. Isaiah 55, in verse 10, the Lord says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Why does a man who take heed to the word of God and do the word of God, why does that man prosper? Because his word prospers. Right. It prospers wherever it goes. Right. Isaiah 53, verse 10. This is a very famous chapter. We think of the suffering servant. This is Messiah dying and being cut off for the sins of the world. And actually, you think about all the suffering, and it kind of paints a pretty grim picture, right? Look at verse 10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Why is it going to prosper? Because he's the word of God. The word prospers. That's Christ. He is the word of God. You say, well, he's in kind of a bad case. I mean, he's crucified. He's hanging on a cross. I mean, that's a pretty bad ending, right? That's not the ending. And that was the will of God for him. That was exactly where God wanted him. That's why it says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to put him there. Why? Because God had a greater purpose. And that wasn't the end of Christ. Christ is alive now, and the pleasure of the Lord prospers in his hand. Okay? Remember what it said in Psalm 1. It said, in his season. There's a time. Maybe, you know, like maybe things aren't working out now, but guess what? The word of God is going to prosper. And if you're obeying the word of the Lord, it will prosper in you. It may not all happen right now. You may not see the fruit of it right now, but it will happen in God's time. You look back at Genesis 39, man, Joseph's going through some stuff. He's been sold into slavery. He's being tempted by this wicked woman. He ends up being cast into prison. Oh, I don't know. It doesn't look like prospering to me. No, he prospered every step of the way. And yeah, things didn't always seem like, you know, it was all sunshine and lollipops, but guess what? Everything he did, God made it to prosper. He went through some hard times, and then guess what? The Lord ends up exalting him. Every valley that he goes into, the Lord brings him out of. One more before we go on. Psalm 35. Just one verse, so I'll just read it. It says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Amen. This is about, you know, God actually cares for his servants. Amen. He cares for people. He wants them to prosper. That pleases him. He has pleasure in that. But look through the Bible. God's not interested in giving you money. That's not his interest. That's not his heart. Oh, I got to make all my people wealthy. That's not the prosperity that it's talking about. There's a prosperity of his will in your life that God wants to bring to pass. He knows how his word is going to transform you and really bring his pleasure to pass in you. And he takes pleasure in that. But anyway, back in Genesis 39, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Verse 3, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him." This man could tell God is with this boy. the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. It's not just that Joseph is a good worker and he just gets lucky all the time and things just work out for him. This man, Potiphar, looked at Joseph's life and he could tell that God was the cause of the prosperity. Man. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And because of this, verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. It says that Joseph found grace in his sight. Just an important point to make about grace. Someone can be gracious. That can be in their character, that they're gracious. But there's something to finding grace. It's not unconditional. It doesn't happen for no reason. There's always a reason why someone finds grace in someone else's sight. It has a lot to do with what the person is looking for. Okay? How do you find grace in the sight of God? Well, what's he looking for? He's looking for somebody to believe his word and by his word, by faith in him, to be made righteous. That's how you find grace in the sight of God. That's what Noah did in Genesis chapter 7. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord looked at him and said, I have seen thee righteous before me. Because he believed in the Lord. So Joseph found grace in his sight. Why? Because this man could look at him and see God is with him. He's a man of integrity. He's a hard worker. I mean, come on, this guy's in kind of a bad case, you know. He's been sold as a slave into Egypt, a foreign country. He's far away from his family. He's on the bottom of the totem pole right now, and he's not complaining. He's not slothful. He's a hard worker. And he prays to God and he thanks God for the situation that he's in. Why? Well, it could have been worse. He's alive. I mean, there's something that he saw that he said, this Joseph, wow, he's a good guy. The Lord is with him. And if the Lord is with somebody, you know what that says about them? There's somebody of character. The Lord is not with unrighteous people. He's not with wicked people. He doesn't have fellowship with them. But Joseph had fellowship with them. And it says he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. He made him the steward of his whole household. Remember, it says back in Genesis 24, you didn't have to turn there, but I'll just read this. Genesis 24, verse 2, it says, Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. This was his steward. Ruled over his whole household. All his goods were in his hand. So Abraham wasn't concerned, like, oh, what's he doing with this? What's he doing with that? Abraham trusted him. And that was the grace that Joseph found in Potiphar's sight, is that he trusted him because he knew that he was a man of integrity. This man he's not just a man pleaser. This man walks with God. I can trust him. I can trust him to do the right thing. I don't have to worry about all the stuff that I put into his hand. I don't have to keep an eye on him. And it makes this point several times. He didn't even know what was going on. He just left everything to Joseph. Verse 5. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And you see this several times throughout the Bible, that one person walks with God, and God blesses that person and also blesses the place where that person is. And let's say that that you're working for an employer, okay? That employer ought to be able to look at you and see that God is with you and actually be glad to have you there. Wow, I wish all my employees were like that, Because if they were all so honest and so hardworking and they, you know, they were just genuinely good people, wow, this would really be a great place. My company would be a lot better. And this guy's whole house and his lands and everything was all blessed for Joseph's sake. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. there were some good things about Joseph. It seems to imply that he was a good-looking young man, but there was more to Joseph than that. And unfortunately, this woman comes along and she doesn't see the real good about Joseph. She just sees the appearance. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. So this is Potiphar's wife, and she's tempting Joseph to commit adultery with her, which begins to tell the story about her too. There's a lot of really bad things that this passage says about her. But look at his response, okay? She's tempting him. So let me just say this to try and help paint the picture here, okay? This man is an officer of Pharaoh. He's captain of a guard. He is a wealthy, powerful person. Okay? Think of wealthy, powerful people. Who do they end up marrying? Good-looking people. Good-looking people. I mean, yeah. You ever see a celebrity on TV? I don't know. You guys probably don't watch TV. I don't really either. I don't even have a TV. But you ever see, like, celebrities that they're all good looking? I mean, unless they just really destroy themselves with a lifestyle of sin. I mean, they're good looking people. That's why they put them on the camera, you know. And they get good looking people around them. They marry good looking people. This guy is a powerful person. He's probably married to somebody who's very attractive. I've met Egyptian women before. They're not ugly. Okay, let me just say that. This woman is probably very attractive. And you look at Joseph's position. Okay, things haven't really been great. You know, I've been sold as a slave. Here I am. Things are really starting to turn around for me, right? I mean, here, this beautiful woman actually wants me. You know, hey, this is a great thing. Wow, my fortune's really starting to change. No, he is not thinking that. He is not thinking that. He is not hooked by this at all. Okay? Let me show you something. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 13, he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Okay? God is not going to put you in an impossible situation, okay? He doesn't want to condemn you. He wants to prove you. Go to James chapter 1 again. Joseph had a way to escape the situation, okay? And I'm going to share with you what it is. And it's kind of personal to me because I've been in a similar situation in my life. I have not overcome every temptation. I have fallen to many temptations in my life. But I think of this one time in particular, which in some ways was similar to what Joseph experienced. In my case, it wasn't a person that really tempted me. It was more my own ideas. It was my own lusts. And I went after this other person. A lot of it was me. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. And it was a really wicked thing that I had devised to do in my own heart, in my own mind, and I made a plan to go ahead and do it. And one day, and I'll probably never forget this, one day I'm just standing in the bathroom brushing my teeth and thinking of this, oh, this is going to be so good to be able to do that. I mean, it's going to feel so good and it's just going to be so great and I just can't wait to do this and I was so looking forward to it. And then this verse, as I'm brushing my teeth, popped into my head. It's James 1:12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." That verse came into my mind, and I realized what that was. It's not just enduring temptation. You look at this verse, how do you receive the crown of life? Endure temptation? Or do you receive the crown of life by loving God? Then you realize it's the same thing. That's the way of escape. That's how you escape from the temptation. That's how you endure it. It's by loving God. And I realized in that moment, there's a way to endure this temptation. There's a way to escape from it. Do I love God? The only way I could go ahead with that thing, thinking about it now, the only way I could go ahead with it is if I didn't love God, and I couldn't bring myself to do that. And this verse saved me that day. This is how Joseph escaped. When you look at what he said, he talks about all the things that his master trusted him with. He talks about how great his master made him and all the things that he'd given to his master. Okay? Think about Adam and Eve in the garden when God gave them all the trees and said, "Don't eat from this one tree." Joseph says, "My master's given me everything. He's just kept back one thing from me, and that's you because you're his wife." So what does he say? "Oh, my master's been so good to me. I can't do this to my master. It just wouldn't be right." That's not what he said. He said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Right. You know how you beat the temptation of lust? You beat it by loving God. Okay? Loving God. That's a love that's by faith. That's a love that says, "God is greater than me." It's a love that says, "Not my will, the will of the flesh. Not my will be done, but thy will be done." That is the mind of Christ that said, "You know what? I want to do the will of God, and I want to love my Father, even if it means this flesh is being put to death on that cross. I'm willing to go through that and do that for his sake because I just love him more than I love me, than I love my flesh." And that's where Joseph was. And that's how he overcame by faith and by loving God. Verse 10. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. So this wasn't a one-time thing. It started once, but it was a continual thing. She just kept going after him day by day by day. And you think, well, eventually he got worn down, right? No, he didn't. Because he loved God. His focus was not what's going to feel good for me today, or, well, I won't do it today because I'm not in the mood, but maybe tomorrow. No. He had a love of God. He had a relationship and a walk with God. And he looks at this woman and he says, I ain't trading God for you. It's not worth it. I can't do this thing. Day by day, he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. So verse 11, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I mean, she's really got him now. Actually, she's got his clothes. He could escape. But if he does, it's going to kind of look bad on him because he's going to have to leave his clothes behind. It's not going to be a pretty situation. But he says, you know what? It's still better to escape. It's still better to just get out. Sometimes you might be tempted to do something and you think, well, if I don't go along with it, then I don't know, the situation actually could get even messier. And I don't know, maybe I should just kind of go along with it. No. It's always better to escape. Yeah. It's always better to do the right thing and just get out. Even if you think it's going to leave a mess behind you, or it's going to make things more complicated, do the right thing. We still got like half the chapter left and we're just about out of time. So we're just going to end here for now and just leave you with that that verse, James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Amen. Amen.